Welcome to Blooming Out, a locally produced public affairs program discussing the issues and events affecting the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community of South Central Indiana. Blooming Out is written and produced by a team of dedicated volunteers and financially supported by listeners like you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Helen Harrell, and thanks for tuning in tonight. We are Blooming Out, Indiana's only queer public affairs radio and podcast show, and we are available to listeners worldwide.
And I'm Sean Lemieux. Once again, we're bringing our listeners a new edition of Blooming Out, created specifically by and for the LGBTQ and ally communities. We are keeping you up to date on the latest issues, people, and events reflecting queer life in South Central Indiana and throughout the world.
And once again, we have some guests that I think everyone is going to enjoy hearing from. David Barclay Moore, who is a filmmaker, writer, and photographer. And Indianapolis therapist Michelle O'Mara is back tonight. We think she's going to give us some of her feelings about what community means.
And Aaron Casper Phoenix and Dee Hupp will be here to talk about an upcoming October 11th equality rally in Bloomington.
Well, David Barclay Moore produced a documentary entitled Realness, a short film about a black female-to-male transgender person in Brooklyn, and currently is in production on yet another documentary concerning success and failure among black men that is being made in part with funds from the Wellspring Foundation. And now we have David on the phone with us. Welcome to Blooming Out. Tell us a little bit about yourself, David, what you do, and you're in New York City, I believe, correct?
Yes, I am, actually. Actually speaking to you from the offices of the National Black Programming Consortium in Harlem, actually, Harlem, USA. And the NBPC, or the National Black Programming Consortium, was one of the sponsors, actually, as the primary sponsor for the Masculinity Project, which was the part of the project that actually sponsored Realness, which is the short film that you had mentioned about the female-to-male transgendered person.
And you're not originally from New York, though, correct?
No, I am not. I'm actually a Midwestern boy, born and raised just outside of St. Louis, Missouri, and I went to school up in Iowa and also did two visiting programs at two other colleges, one in D.C. and then one in France. And eventually, graduated and made my way up to New York City to kind of find my fame and fortune, of which I found neither so far.
Oh, I think you found some fame, and you certainly seem to be very talented, if everything on your website is evidence. I do have to ask you one question. Is the picture on your website of the little boy in the wagon, is that you?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Okay, that's just curious. How did you come to be a filmmaker? Did you always know something that you always wanted to do, or?
Yeah, I've always wanted to be a storyteller. Number one, ever since I was probably about the age of that I was in that photograph on my website. When I was very little, I used to do a lot of doodling and drawing. I would actually make comic books to tell stories. And then as I got to be a teenager, I took up photography, particularly when I went off to school up in Iowa, and kind of developed that, because I think, all those, are different forms of storytelling, and so the photography evolved into kind of a love of film. In addition to that, I guess, my love of kind of popular film at a very young age, particularly like the Star Wars films and then whatnot, got me really interested in filmmaking, and that kind of matured as an adult into a love for Alfred Hitchcock and David Lynch and Stanley Kubrick and documentary filmmakers like Errol Morris.
David, have you made films that are not documentaries, or is documentary filmmaking where your passions lie these days?
No, I have not made a fictional film, aside from short films in college. One of the things I do want to do, and which I'm kind of actually preparing for right now, is actually shoot a very short fictional film sometime the end of next year, just be like a few minutes long, in preparation for a longer feature, kind of on the same subject matter. And a lot of it has to do with the same kind of focus of my documentary work, which tends to be black men and how we black male cultures and how those intersect with other cultures. You know, so the fictional film, the short one that I'm preparing right now, will actually deal with that and also some other kind of folk tale-ish types of themes.
I noticed that your artist's statement of purpose is to explore and reveal the mystery and mythology of black men. Can you explain a little bit what you mean by that?
I'm not sure if I can explain that, actually.
Uh-oh.
That's something that I, that's a notion of mine. It probably comes about from sitting around and thinking a little bit too long and too much. But it, in a nutshell, I guess it has to do with the kind of response that a lot of cultures have to black male cultures and black men in general. And it's a very complex response, I think, and it's very much based in history. And it's there's a positive and a negative to it. You know, like one of the things I had mentioned, I went to school at a French university, l'Université de Montpellier, when I was a teenager. And one of the things I remember about that experience was just kind of walking streets in some of the French cities and almost being a black male and almost feeling like a celebrity, you know, because at least at that time, you know, it was just, you know, black men were very popular, you know, in France. And so I guess a lot of that, the mystery of black men has to deal with some of the reasons or some of the questions why there is such a love-hate relationship with kind of black male culture and black men in general.
How does that affect your filmmaking? How do you translate that into film?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is just asking questions, you know, trying to analyze that, trying to answer those questions. For myself, not only being a black man, but a black gay man, it's complex. You know, there's a lot of complexity there as well, because growing up, to some degree today, I experienced some alienation, you know, because of this kind of tension between, okay, I'm a black male, but at the same time there is some antagonism against gay men or queer people, you know, not only in the black community, but just in the, you know, in the United States in general. And so, you know, growing up there was this kind of need for me to kind of explore and question myself and question my own identity as like kind of a black queer male, you know. So a lot of the film work that I do and also my creative writing kind of centers around that, trying to kind of answer those questions not only for myself but just, you know, for you know, other people as well, I guess.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your documentary called Harlemite, which is about the success and failure among black men.
Yeah, sure. I've been working on it. It's not finished. It's in production and actually in the process of seeking funds to complete it. You know, actually, as you can probably tell, I have a lot of, probably maybe too many irons in the fire. But I've been working on Harlemite since about 2000. And it originally had started off, you know, I was living in New York at the time. You know, I moved to New York back in 1995. And as a lot of your listeners have probably read about, New York has gone through a lot of changes since then, particularly Harlem, where I'm, you know, talking to you from, you know, right now. It's become very gentrified, you know, and at the time, and there still is a lot of concern for the kind of traditional black residents of Harlem being possibly forced out of Harlem. And so one of the reasons why I had wanted to make Harlemite originally was to kind of examine, you know, what's going to happen to a lot of those kind of traditionally poor black residents of Harlem. You know, where are they going to go if they can no longer afford to live in Harlem or New York? And that was in 2000. Since then, it's actually evolved into what you just mentioned, where it's tied into that whole theme of gentrification, is this idea of why certain men fail, why certain men succeed. You know, why? What is it about one person that allows them to have a successful career and to afford the higher rents that are being asked for in Harlem, and why is another one not able to afford those rents and not able to earn a living, you know, a livable income? So it's evolved into that, and kind of looking at kind of wider issues of just kind of what it is about us that makes us us.
I think because of our connection, we're going to have to cut this short. Maybe we can have David back on again sometime. But we want to thank him for coming on the show. And he's doing a lot of really interesting work, and so we really wanted to explore that a little more thoroughly. But
he is. The Masculinity Project and the National Black Programming Consortium, there's a website at the NBPC, so folks should check that out. They have some short films on there, including one of David's Realness, which you hadn't had a chance to talk about. So,
and then he's also working on a manuscript for a book called Hulbert's Original Soul Kitchen, which I read part of, and it even though there's only a couple pages on the website, it really grabbed me. I wanted to read more. So I hope we can talk to him again when we have a better connection.
Well, you know, this happens to us periodically here at WFHB in Blooming Out.
Yeah, it does. I think
technology
so.
Technology frowns upon us, but we muddle through, and we'll get it worked out, and we'll have him back, if not tonight, then another night.